Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
Welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners. However you've decided to spend the hour with us, we are very, very, very glad to have you. So tonight you may be wondering, if you've been looking at my tweets or on Facebook, who have I got in the studio? Because I've got a very beautiful, very hot, very beautifully good-looking man here who's also smart, intelligent, and doing all sorts of amazing things for the gay community. So I'm very, very excited because before I met this man on Twitter, I didn't know that there was a Mr. Gay Canada. And one out of five men, this gentleman is one of them. The way we'll find out whether he is going to be Mr. Gay Canada, which is really exciting. So welcome to the show, Mr. Brian Webb.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening. So I'm excited because I've met you on Twitter and had no idea how good looking you are until I got to see you in face to face. So this is very exciting.
Awesome. I'm excited to be here too. Thank you.
You're welcome. So tell me a little bit about Mr. Gay Canada.
Yeah, Mr. Gay Canada is the champion for gay human rights in Canada, for the community on the global stage as well. Oh. It's an important role because they raise awareness about issues regarding safe sex practices and bullying and self-acceptance. So, you know, they are really a role model and an advocate for the gay and lesbian community. They also create a positive image for the young gay youth, and
nice.
Which is really important to have a role model. In the community, and someone that's going to help make a difference and help people be more accepted within their community. So the goal of the Mr. Gay Canada competition is to find the right person to represent that role.
So how did it start? How did you hear about this? And is this the first time they've done Mr. Gay Canada, or has this happened before? Because I know with Gay Whistler, they're celebrating their 20th year, which is fantastic. And this is going to be up there in Whistler, so you get to be a snow bunny as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to going up to Whistler and seeing everybody up there, meeting the other candidates mm-hmm. in person. Some of them I actually do know personally, so it's really exciting. So I first heard about the competition last year. I was familiar with it. I was at Gay Ski Week, and being a blogger, I heard about the event, and I really wanted to cover the story, and that's how I found out about it, was through my blog and working with the folks up at GayWhistler.com, and they told me about the opportunity. And my friends encouraged me to participate in it, send in an application. So thanks to my friends and my family's support, and here I am.
That's fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So with Gay Whistler, that's next week, starting on Thursday?
The competition for Mr. Gay Canada starts next Thursday. Whistler Gay Ski Week starts this weekend.
Nice.
Yeah.
So it can be a full weekend. So when you say this weekend, do you mean going up on Thursday night, or do you mean starting on Friday for the ski week?
Gay Ski Week starts this coming Saturday. So there's lots of events. There's over 65 events happening over the next 9 days.
And they say that we're a no fun city still. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know where they came up with that.
Either that, or we just need to go up to Whistler to find out what's going on.
Exactly. What's happening in our own backyard.
Exactly. No, that's really cool. So tell me a little bit about it. So you're mentioning in our pre-show chat that there's going to be an awesome pool party as well, and things for next Thursday.
Yeah, so there's lots of opportunities to meet the different candidates who are part of the Mr. Gay Canada competition. Starting at 2:45, there's going to be a gay ski out that starts off the day.
Nice.
And at 3 o'clock, there will be the first march through the resort municipality of Whistler. So this is part of the 20-year celebration.
20
it's
years.
The very first time.
Wow.
So it's very exciting for Gay Whistler and Whistler Gay Ski Week.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so the five Mr. Gay Canada competitors will be there. And then you can also meet us on Thursday night at the pool party. And so that's from 10 p.m. till 2 a.m. and at the Resort Municipality of Whistler Aquatic Center.
Nice. And that's at Meadow Park, right?
Meadow Park, that's right.
Perfect. I've been up there once or twice. That's fantastic. So tell me a little bit about what you've done in terms of why do you think that in, like, because you'd mentioned that you get, there's, in terms of the adjudication, the judging, like, how do they gauge in terms of, like, who's the right candidate?
That's a great question. So there's a number of things that each candidate is going to be voted on throughout the course of the 3-day competition. It's actually already in progress right now. There's an online public vote that's happening. So
where do we need to go to vote for you if we want?
You can go to gaywhistler.com or you can go to my blog. It's mywebsite.ca, website, web being two B's. And you can go to either one of those two links and you can vote for your favorite candidate. You can read up on all five of us. Our profiles are there. Our pictures are there. And you can learn about each of us and our causes that we represent. And you can vote for us there. And then while we're actually up at the resort and as part of the competition, we're going to be judged on Mr. Congeniality, which is voted on by each of the delegates.
Okay.
So we actually get to vote for each other. So it's really neat how we get some interaction amongst ourselves to help choose the finalist. There's also the fitness challenge that we're going to have over the weekend. We don't have the details in advance on that, unfortunately. I would love to know.
Well, considering you're training for a marathon, Yes, I think you wouldn't have any troubles in that department whatsoever.
Yes, let's hope that it's a running competition or something of the like, right? There's also a personal interview that we'll have with the panel of judges. So we'll get opportunities for them to get to know us and us to explain who we are and more about what we represent and what we hope to get out of if we are chosen as Mr. Gay Canada, what would we do with that title?
Nice. And what would you do with that title?
I'm really hoping to expand my network. I really am passionate about being an advocate for LGBT rights in Canada and on a global stage.
Wow.
I think it's really important. There are a number of rights that we still do not have in Canada and also around the world. And I think it's really important that we have advocates at all different levels, whether they're at our community level, provincial, national, or on a global stage. And we really need to bring ourselves together and have a spokesperson. And that's part of the Mr. Gay Canada role, is to fulfill that need of being a spokesperson for human rights in Canada and across the world.
Wow. What are some of the things that, right-wise, that would be important? I'm thinking same-sex marriage. There's been a lot of controversy, just even in North America.
Yeah, absolutely. If we look in the United States, same-sex marriage is not legal in all states. And, during Winter Pride, Vancouver Pride this past summer in Vancouver, we found out that New York State finally has allowed same-sex marriage. That was a big win. But over and above that, adoption rights are still an issue on the global stage.
Didn't realize that. Wow.
Yeah, for sure. If we look even in Canada, transgendered people do not have the same rights as homosexuals or straight people. And so it's still being tossed around in our Human Rights Acts. And that needs to be addressed and to make sure that we have equality for all.
Well, I think one of the nice things is you know how to market, you know how to talk to people, and you're really amazing at Twitter and Facebook, etc. So I think in terms of getting the messages out there, regardless, you've already done a tremendous job, and I think hopefully this exposure will take it to the next level.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What are some things you would have liked to have known as a kid in regards to if you could talk to yourself basically as a 10-year-old, what would you have liked to have said?
Yeah, it always kind of goes back in hindsight. I wish I knew then what I know now. Mm-hmm. And had I had that opportunity, I would have really have loved to have had more peers within my own community. I'm from a small rural town. I'm from Armstrong, British Columbia. And so there's only about, when I was growing up, about 4,000 people in my community. And not a lot of them obviously were out. I didn't know anybody in my community that was gay. And so I didn't have somebody that I could talk to. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel that the peer counselors in my school had the knowledge to help me through the questions that I had. And I didn't exactly know what I was feeling inside. I knew I was different, but I didn't know what that meant. Mm-hmm. And bullying, of course, is always an issue within our high schools. And I wish like organizations like Out in Schools was a lot more proactive in the small rural communities where I'm from when I was younger. And now, thanks to the good work that they're doing, mm-hmm. you know, it's an opportunity to help educators and to be able to understand how important anti-bullying is.
It's huge, especially with the Pink Shirt Day coming up. There seems to be a lot of heat in regards to bullying. And I wish, hopefully, they will hopefully alleviate more, especially with, even though as much as I love Twitter, we know that, Facebook, etc., sometimes I worry about it, and I'm kind of grateful I'm not a kid right now.
Yeah, for sure. You know, when we talk about anti-bullying, you know, bullying happens to someone in Canada every 7 minutes on the playground. And, you know, that's tremendous. You know, these things shouldn't be happening anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we need to look to our peers. We need to look at the people within our community to stand up and say, hey, that's not okay. It's not okay for kids to treat each other that way. Mm-hmm. And to make sure that they have the education to understand, you know, the impacts of bullying and how it affects and impacts other people's lives.
That's very true. I don't know if you mind answering this on air, but were you bullied yourself?
Yeah. I wouldn't deny that. I definitely did have some challenges growing up in high school. Being from a smaller community, there were definitely some challenging times. And looking back at it, you know, I'm sure I could have handled it differently. But again, if I'd known then what I know now, I mm-hmm. would have handled it differently. And I'm just very thankful that I'm a very resilient person, and I'm very strong and open-minded, and I was able to handle and deal with a lot of it. But I don't think any child should have to deal with their own issues, issues like bullying on their own, mm-hmm. and to keep it bottled up inside, and that they need a support network that they know that is safe, that they can go to, mm-hmm. and have other people that they can talk to and that they can relate to and get advice.
And I think that's really important now, with, even though I'm talking about social media and how scary it would be, at the same time, there are more resources. So if somebody didn't want to tell their parents, they can actually go online and actually look at and see what resources there may be available from everything, from message boards, etc. But I know it could be helpful. I was bullied myself, and my brother is gay, and he was bullied all the way from kindergarten all the way through school.
Yeah, it's definitely tough. And when you talk about there's resources, you know, there are resources now mm-hmm. That are in the school system. And I think that our teachers and our administrators, our counselors within school deserve, you know, recognition for the hard work that they do. And when they step in, I think it's really important. But over and above that, you make a great point that online is now definitely an online tool where youth are going to help answer their questions. Mm-hmm. To get advice when they aren't comfortable with either talking to their friends or talking to their family, and they have those questions. And for myself, I know that I've been an online role model for a number of people, and I love getting the emails from my followers, and they tell mm-hmm. me their stories and how I've impacted their life and helped them make smart decisions. And that, to me, is really, you know, rewarding and fulfilling.
I think that's fantastic. We're going to take a really quick short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more. Actually, a lot more. You already know that, though. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
Because you were born this way, baby.
Pride UBC presents Outweek 2012 from February 6th through the 15th. Outweek promises to bring you the most relevant workshops on human sexuality, cultural events, and a fabulous queer prom banquet on Friday the 10th. Come out and join Pride UBC as they kick off the week with an exciting rainbow flag-raising event Monday, February 6th at noon at the Flagpole north of the Sub. Check out the full list of events at outweek.prideubc.com.
The alphabet has only 26 letters. With these 26 magic symbols, however, millions of words are written every day.
Pick up your winter issue of Discorder, as the Jan-Sember issue is packed with goodies that will warm even the coldest of cockles. Take a dip with Dixie's Death Pool, a spacey art rock collective, or read up on local outsider pop music makers, World Club. Cozy up on the couch with Filmstripped, featuring a review of Color Me Obsessed, a documentary on The Replacements. And in case you missed the memo, 2012 is almost here. Check out the Discorder album picks of 2011. Don't forget to pick up your special Jan-Sember issue of Discorder. Thursday, February 2nd, CITR is proud to present the Silver Mount Zion Memorial Orchestra at the Rickshaw Theatre. Tickets to these Canadian post-rockers are available in advance at northerntickets.com and at the Northern Tickets box office located at the Vogue Theatre on Granville Street. Advance tickets are also available at Redcat, Highlife, and Zulu Records. Doors are at 8 and the show starts at 9:30. Guests are to be announced. Again, that's the Silver Mount Zion Memorial Orchestra playing at the Rickshaw Theatre February 2nd.
And we're back in Sexy and Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. So if you're just joining us, I'm very excited because I've got the lovely, the wonderful, the talented Mr. Brian Webb in the booth with me right now. And he is one out of five candidates for Mr. Gay Canada, which is pretty exciting. So we've been chatting about that and just some of the platforms in terms of the leadership that Mr. Gay Canada, whoever is chosen, will be leading. And Brian's already been doing a lot of really great work. So you're chatting about in regards to bullying. And there's a couple different areas about that. So it's really important. So before the break, we were talking about bullying. And on the break, we were just chatting about the fact that there's the Pink Shirt Day. And there's some really wonderful resources, such as Out in School, etc. Brian, I didn't ask you about this, but before the competition, and you've been an advocate for a long time, both online, what types of volunteer and advocate, like in terms of like for, is there certain not-for-profit organizations that you've done work with, or?
Yeah, specifically for youth. In the Okanagan, I was a volunteer for a number of years with an organization called the Youth Glow, and it's an organization that's dedicated to helping youth who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, transsexual, or even questioning. So nice. They might not even know, they might still have questions, they're not sure. So I had the opportunity when I lived in the Okanagan to be a peer counselor for a number of youth, and it allowed me to really help these youth understand, provide them some resources, answer their questions for them, and give them guidance and point them in the right direction of where they could get additional resources. And I think organizations like that in small rural communities is really important. And, you know, we definitely, I know that I was able to help a number of youth, and I still keep in touch with them, which is really exciting. And to hear them come back so many years later and say, hey, this is how you impacted my life, to knowing that, you know, I was there to just listen to their stories and not necessarily give them the answers, but to allow them to discover themselves.
That's really cool. What's one of your favorite stories, if you can share any of them without breaking confidentiality?
Yeah, there was one kid who was 13 years old. He was in school, in elementary school, and he knew that he was gay and he didn't know how to deal with it. And he definitely was too scared to tell his sister, his parents, and his grandparents. And for him, it was a really scary time. And so to help give him some resources and provide him that information, about 8 years later, when I was living in Vancouver, somebody reached out to me and just started chatting me up, and I asked, hey, what's your name? When he told me his name, it kind of rolled back into my head, and it turns out it was one of the kids that I'd helped peer counsel. And he said, you know, I'm really glad that I got the opportunity to re-meet you all these years later, because you were a help for me when I was trying to come out and I didn't know what to do. So, you know, it was really rewarding. And even today, we're still really good friends and we keep in touch regularly. We don't live in Vancouver. We both don't live in Vancouver. But it was nice. Even I talked to him this morning. So
that's really cool.
Yeah.
For someone who has a child or is who may be wanting to come out, perhaps, where a parent suspect, what are some things that you might suggest in regards to making it, creating a safe space for their child so they feel comfortable?
Yeah, You know, I really wish that when I had come out that I had had a lot more information to provide to my own parents, because my parents weren't in a position that they were ready to accept the information that I was telling them. So I think that if a parent suspects that their child may be gay, lesbian, or bisexual, just to go online and read up about it, or talk to members of the community and some of the local outreach programs like PFLAG. There's a great opportunity to go and access these resources. That's what they're there for. Mm-hmm. And to find out what's the right times, what's the right method, and how do you approach or even deal with the issue that you personally think, I'm really thankful that my own parents never said to me, "So are you gay?" well, that's awkward. No, I'm going to deny that because I'm, 17 years old. I'm not going to obviously say that. But, mm-hmm. It can be awkward for some kids. And I think that if the parent suspects that they need to, number one, be open, they need to be accepting, and they need to go and get additional information to help them through this period.
And I think the topic of parents talking about sex can be really, really uncomfortable. But with all sorts of sexually transmitted infections, etc., that's a really key thing. And with Mr. Gay Canada, that's one of their platforms, isn't it, about the STIs and just practicing safe sex.
Yeah, absolutely. In today's world, I don't think that there's an excuse not to practice safe sex. And I firmly believe that, especially in Vancouver, there's the Health Initiative for Men and the HIM. There's condoms that are readily accessible in most establishments or easily accessible through outreach programs. So there's no reason to not practice safe sex. And since the 80s, when there was the true
scare with the HIV.
Yeah, the education programs really rolled up in the 80s and continued through the 90s. Our generation really was aware of what HIV/AIDS is and certainly the impacts of it. Mm-hmm. We're lucky today that there's some great medical treatment programs out there. On my blog today, I did a great story about how HIV is actually on the decline right now in British Columbia.
Which is fantastic.
It's really exciting, yeah. But we need to continue to promote safer sex practices and so that people are aware. And it's not just HIV/AIDS, but there's so many other STIs that are out there, mm-hmm. That can have long-term medical impacts.
Everything from herpes, which sometimes people think it's basically a disease from the 70s, but in reality, the last stats I looked at, I believe it's 1 out of 5 have a strand of the virus. And then, of course, HPV. There's so many different types of strands in regards to that. And everything else, like even hepatitis B, hepatitis C.
You could have chlamydia and not even know it, mm-hmm. and be transmitting it to other sexual partners. So getting tested regularly is important, to ensure that you know yourself. You're getting checked regularly is especially important.
I agree. I think that's really important. And also, too, in regards to sexuality, just making sure you're open and honest in regards to all of it, whoever your partners are.
Exactly. And, some of the contributing factors that are out there, it isn't just your own knowledge, but the use of drugs and alcohol. They can quite often contribute to unsafe sex practice. And so, ensuring that you have the knowledge of, how far are you along in your evening? Have you been consuming drugs or have you been consuming alcohol? And has that intoxicated your ability to make smart decisions? And being aware of that in advance and making sure that if you do go home with a partner that you do continue to use your safe sex practices.
On that note, and this is just an off-the-cuff question, is there resources in the community for men who have dealt with sexual violence, like in terms of a date rape, etc.? And if you don't know, that's okay, because it was just an off-the-cuff question, but I was just curious, because if so, I think there should be, especially in Vancouver.
Yeah, you know, we're quite lucky in Vancouver that we have a number of outreach programs, especially in the Davie Village, the West End, where people can go to. They can get peer counseling, or they can talk to a resource worker and get the help that they need. And certainly those resources are there, and we're quite fortunate to have them.
Which is great. I think that's awesome. We're going to take a really, really, really quick short break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking a lot more about Mr. Gay Canada and about Mr. Brown Webb, because this is very exciting to have you in the booth. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back as soon as I can find this commercial that I'm supposed to play.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's nonprofit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
Wednesday, February 8th, catch co-headliners Twin Sister and Eleanor Friedberger at the Media Club. Twin Sister is an indie dream pop band on tour to support their latest release, In Heaven. You may recognize the voice of Eleanor Friedberger as the singer from the Fiery Furnaces. For more information, search for Twin Sister and Eleanor Friedberger at the Media Club on Facebook. Advanced tickets are available at northerntickets.com or at Red Cat or Zulu Records. Twin Sister and Eleanor Friedberger at the Media Club is proudly sponsored by CITR. Wednesday, February 1st at 8 p.m., it's the 5th annual Pan-African Slam at the Calabash Bistro. Entry is by donation for a night of dance, poetry, and of course, live music. Come early to guarantee a spot. Saturday, February 4th brings you African drumming classes at the Small World on Commercial Drive. Beginners classes run from 6 to 7 p.m. with an advanced class from 7 to 8 p.m. featuring master drummer Yoro Nukusi. This PSA has been brought to you in support of Black History Month on CITR 101.9 FM. Norman Otis Richmond, a Toronto-based journalist, is one of the main advocates in Canada for the renaming of Black History Month as African Liberation Month. He is the longtime producer and host of the radio programs Saturday Morning Live, Diasporic Music, and From a Different Perspective. His words have been heard through the studios of CIUT, CHIN, CFNY, CBC, and CKLN, and read on countless newspapers and blogs. In 1992, Otis was the recipient of the Toronto Arts Award and dedicated it to Mumia Abu-Jamal, Assata Shakur, and Geronimo Pratt, the African National Congress of South Africa, Fidel Castro, and the people of Cuba.
This PSA was brought to you in support of Black History Month on CITR 101.9 FM.
And we are back in Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us, we are talking about Mr. Gay Canada, and I'm lucky enough to have one out of five contestants for this in my little cubicle here at CITR Radio, which is pretty exciting. So I've got the lovely, the talented, the absolutely intellectually smart and wonderful and charming Mr. Brian Webb.
Oh, go on.
I can if you want.
I do have a hashtag on Twitter. It's Brian's Ego.
That's awesome. Yeah. So what have you learned from the competition so far?
What have I learned? There's so many great different competitors that are part of the competition, the different delegates, and it's really exciting to learn about what they stand for, what's really important for them, and what are their causes that they're really trying to champion. Mm-hmm. So learning about the different delegates for the competition has probably been one of the most exciting things. And as a blogger, I love hearing other people's stories, mm-hmm. and what's their story, and how can I help share it? And, you know, I think that's been really exciting for me. And also a number of the other pitches that have been coming in from since was announced as a finalist about 3.5 weeks ago. You know, so many different other organizations have reached out to me and they've asked, hey, can you cover a story on this for me? Yeah, I'd love to. You know what? Because, you know, for me as being an LGBT blogger, in the Canadian landscape, it's really important that I'm not just Vancouver-centric, that mm-hmm. I'm Canada-centric and North America-centric, to making sure that the issues that people have or the organizations that are out there as outreach are really their stories are told, and that youth from around the North America can access those resources and know that they're there.
What are some of the ones that you didn't know about before this and that you really, really like? And can't wait to learn more about.
Callan, one of the other delegates, he has the Diversity Project. And this past year at Out Games and at Vancouver Pride, I got to meet Callan for the very first time and start learning about his organization. But it really wasn't until the Mr. Gay Canada competition when I really started to dig in and find out what is his organization about. And that to me was, he's doing some really great work. So I appreciated learning more about it. And I'm looking forward to doing a story on it soon.
That sounds really cool. Well, I'm hoping to have him on the show at some point soon too, but that's another episode of Sexy in Van City Radio. My other question for you is, Mr. Gay Canada, is it always in Whistler? Or, because you said you were introduced to it last year, or is it in different cities sometimes?
It was originally in Vancouver, okay. And it was originally hosted during the summer in Vancouver, and now the organizers have made it part of Winter Pride and Whistler Gay Ski Week. So it's kind of three events all in one. It's Whistler Gay Ski Week, Winter Pride, and the Mr. Gay Canada competition. So it's really to bring a lot of events together where there's already a lot of people happening. So it's a logical fit and it mm-hmm. works well.
And the other thing I was going to ask was Mr. Gay Canada always the way it is, where you're an advocate in regards to change and just in terms of the components that you're being judged in? I'm just thinking in comparison to when I was a kid and I was running for Miss Southwestern. And that was more about the look and being sweet and innocent and all that lovely stuff, as opposed to work. Whereas I think of how my life's changed since then, and I do a lot more work in the community than I ever would have thought I was doing back then. And did Mr. Gay Canada start that way, or like where it was more pretty, and then from there, pretty with the whole package like it is now?
No, it's actually always been along this route. It follows along another competition, but on the national or on the global scale, which is Mr. Gay World. So the winner of Mr. Gay Canada will go on.
Read my mind.
This exciting the delegate that is awarded Mr. Gay Canada will go on to Mr. Gay World. It's held this year in April in South Africa, Johannesburg. Oh, wow. And so the delegate who is the winner will go on to compete in April on the global stage. And so Mr. Gay Canada is modeled after that same ideals, mm-hmm. where you are judged on fashion, where you're judged on fitness, and a number of your ability for public speaking, your ability to represent gay rights, be a role model for youth, just all those. It's the entire package, mm-hmm. Really. So it's really important.
Just out of curiosity, is there anything like that in the lesbian community that you know of?
Not on this global stage that I'm aware of.
Okay.
It's the Mr. Gay Canada competition.
That's very cool. But hopefully at some point we'll have a Ms. Lesbian World, because that would be kind of cool too.
Exactly. You know, we talk about equal rights and, you know, there it is. So
exactly. Agree.
It could come along. Maybe we need to talk to them about it.
You never know. They might be listening or following a tweet later on when we're listening to the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
With Whistler, so you're going to get to go to South Africa if that goes through. And what day is the kind of, I guess, the final crowning? I don't know how you describe it, where you find out, like, the end ceremony in regards to announcing it to everybody.
Yeah, for sure. So Thursday night, as I mentioned earlier, there is the pool party. Mm-hmm. So there's the opportunity to meet the candidates there. Friday night, there will be a number of events that we'll be at. So you'll be able to see us at a number of the Winter Pride events in Whistler. And then Saturday afternoon is when the title will be awarded. And it's being awarded at the après-ski party, which is from 3 to 6 p.m.
Nice.
In the village. So there's an opportunity for people to attend the event and see the crowning of Mr. Gay Canada. So it's really exciting.
It sounds really, really exciting. So you said you went last year to the ski week. And if I remember correctly, during our pre-show chat, you said Whistler's the only resort worldwide that actually has a gay ski week. Is that true?
It's not the only one worldwide. Whistler Ski Week, for the first time this year, on their 20th anniversary, part of it included from the resort municipality of Whistler, has provided a proclamation proclaiming Gay Ski Week in Whistler, and this is part of their 20th anniversary celebration. So it's the first resort in the world that has received such a title.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
Yeah, this is really big for Gay Whistler and the Whistler Ski Week, and it's important to the community as well.
Mm-hmm. One of the things earlier on in the show you'd mentioned was just in regards to human rights, and one of the things you touched on is transgender rights as well, and said that it was very different. And I wasn't sure if there's anything that you could speak to in regards to that. Like, I've heard horror stories in the States about people losing all sorts of things because it turned out that somebody found out that they were transgendered, etc. And I wasn't sure if it was that horrific in Canada or not. I hadn't heard any horror stories here about that, but
yeah, so our human rights acts across Canada are not equal currently, and transgendered people are not specifically mentioned in our human rights acts. It does specify homosexuals, but it does not recognize transgendered people. Mm-hmm. And although it does not say that they would not be included, it doesn't say that they are included as part of that rights. So that's really important that movement is continued to be pushed forward so that our jurisdictions can incorporate that into our own rights. So, you know, I'd like to see more of that happen, and to ensure that we continue to make sure that they're advocated for, because mm-hmm. they are just as equal as anybody else in our country.
What are things that people can do locally within Vancouver in regards to human rights, gay and transgendered, lesbian, bisexual? What are some things that we might be able to do as a community to change things?
I think the number one thing is we need to look out for each other and what we're saying. And if we hear somebody saying something that's inappropriate, ask them to stop. You know, there's so many derogatory comments that are thrown around casually, mm-hmm. and they're used in our everyday language, and they're not appropriate to be used, and they shouldn't be used. So I think one of the basic things that we could ask people to do at our individual level is to be really aware of what we say publicly,
mm-hmm.
and what we communicate. And, you know, although we may not mean it to be derogatory, it is, and we need to be respectful of that. Additionally, we need to ensure that we're monitoring what other people are saying, whether that's online, and just, you know, casually saying to them, you know, those types of comments aren't appropriate. And, those are types of things that our youth are listening to, and mm-hmm. that can encourage things like bullying. And we talked about bullying earlier. And, that is one form of bullying. And so ensuring we're monitoring what we are saying individually. Also, I would encourage people to reach out to their local politicians, whether they're MPs or MLAs, and ensuring that they're recognizing and asking for gay rights to really be to be looked at, and mm-hmm. asking them what they can do through either a provincial or a federal government, and making sure that our rights are being looked at.
Yeah, I think that sounds awesome. And it's really important for people to get out there. I'm going to add to that and encourage them to do what you've done, which is to find organizations that are similar in value system, and volunteer, get involved, give money, help those organizations actually take it to the next level, and hopefully change.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've just recently did a story on A Loving Spoonful. You know, what a great organization that's out there helping, providing nutritious meals to people with HIV and AIDS in the Vancouver area. And, you know, helping them out on their initiatives. Right now, for Valentine's Day, I know they're doing candy grams, and I'm so excited about it. I think it's such a wonderful opportunity to send candy grams to anybody in Canada with proceeds going to an organization like that. They do such great work for the community, and the resources that they provide are so valuable. You know, so even, you know, volunteering your time, like you mentioned, to a local organization that may help the LGBT community, or making donations, and even just showing up for events, you know, like the Vancouver Pride Parade, you know, be out there, be proud, support the community, and making sure that you are welcoming and accepting of all.
I have a question in regards to the Vancouver is very diverse, very multicultural. Is there anything you'd recommend, especially for a South Asian community, or just as an example, I just know there's a lot of heat right now in regards to with the certain Muslim sects sometimes, especially for, I know for girls in particular, and I've done a lot of shows in regards to that, but I was just wondering if there's any resources, like whether there is materials printed in, say, Punjabi or in Cantonese and Mandarin, just so that way, sometimes in case language is a barrier.
For sure. Definitely in those types of situations, I would strongly advise to go online to find those types of resources, because they are going to be there in the language of your choice that you do speak, and you're going to find the right information that's accurate for you.
Okay.
And rather than relying on a translation that might have gone through Google.com and got lost in translation, so
literally,
the message isn't quite right. Exactly. So, you know, making sure that you're there. And also, you can talk to your peers within your own religious community or your ethnic community. Mm-hmm. I think that's another important place that you can go to. So reaching out to people that you admire as a role model, and talking to them or talking to within your local council community, and reaching out to them to get the answers to the questions that you have.
Okay, no, that sounds good, because I know sometimes, especially with cultural differences, sometimes it can be challenging.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And so I've always wondered about that, if there was anything resource-wise that could be recommended.
Yeah, definitely online, and again, talking to your peers within that community, that cultural community, I think is really important.
Mm-hmm. So there's bullying, there's safe sex, and what is the third platform?
Being a youth role model is really important, and that is something that I wasn't even aware of when I was a peer counselor at Youth Glow, and even now as a blogger, that how important my own position has been of leading youth and helping them on their journey as they are coming out, or answering the questions that they have.
I think that's fantastic. And moving forward for Mr. Gay Canada, what would you like to get out of this? Like, let's say, you know, this is Sunday, and you find out you win, and not just Mr. Congeniality, but you become Mr. Gay Canada. What would you like to, like, in you're looking back a year from today, what would you like to see that has happened?
Well, I definitely like to ensure that have been a really positive role model for youth, and have put Canada on not just the national stage of awareness of LGBT rights, but also on the global community, the global landscape. A lot of my followers are not from just Canada, but they are from around the world. And knowing that I can raise awareness of those rights and other organizations, the great work that they do, bringing awareness of safer sex practices, ensuring that people understand the importance of anti-bullying, and sharing those messages and telling the stories from a lot of the individuals, the people that I have the opportunity to meet, you know, for example, at the Mr. Gay World competition, in the last 2 years, I think I've attended over almost a dozen Pride festivals and events across North America. And learning about the different organizations and the different rights that are in different jurisdictions, it's so important to be aware and raise those issues and to continue to bring them forward and providing those resources and knowledge. That's what I'm looking forward to most is sharing my experiences and raising those awarenesses and being a true role model and leader.
Wow. And what does that look like in regards to, will you be, besides South Africa, will you have to travel like right through Canada as well, through the world as well as part of that?
Yeah, there's definitely an opportunity to travel with the role. But I think just as importantly, to share your message through media. And
you can definitely do that. We already know that.
I have a little bit of experience of that, as
just
you mentioned.
A little bit.
My background is in marketing, and communications is important to me. Mm-hmm. And being a blogger, you know, it's important that I keep in touch with what's happening in that world, in that space. So for myself, I think that there's a fit there.
Definitely. And in regards to, if you could wave a magic wand and basically change youth today, like in regards to by educating them and empowering them, 20 years from now, what would you like to see this world like?
Yeah, that's a great question. As the generations go on and on, I think that people are becoming more accepting.
Okay.
And I think that the policies are going to change. I think our views are going to change. And we're going to live in a much different world 20 years from now. We're going to see there are younger generations that have grown up with less discrimination and the biases, and they're going to become our policymakers in the future. Mm. And they're going to be our leaders for the youth. And they're going to set new standards for us. So, you know, I look at the potential opportunity that's there for 20 years down the road. And, you know, I see such a positive outlook on life. And even today for our youth, we have organizations, as we were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. Out in Schools. And Out in Schools really is going to raise the awareness of issues facing LGBT youth in our schools. But I would hope that in the future, we're not going to have a need for organizations like Out in Schools, because they're just going to be students. They're not going to be gay students. They're not going to be lesbians. There's not going to be kids out there that are going to have the challenges that they have of accessing resources and answering the questions that they have. So, you know, I see the future 20 years from now for youth being so much more positive. We also have the online resources, you know, social media that we have right now, and the access to information through the internet. You know, that's just going to continue to become more robust, and it's going to grow. And so I think that the future for youth in Canada is really optimistic.
I think that sounds good. Is there anything in regards to the different generations where do they have different viewpoints? So, for example, say our boomers, have you noticed that, like, that anything really distinct? I call them the silent generation, which is kind of like my dad, who's just turning 80 this year. Like, yeah, just in terms of mindset, etc., where as people are coming out, they're sharing their stories, where just acknowledging differences in terms of generations and being able to recognize and trying to work within it where you're still being true to yourself. And you touched on it a little bit earlier in regards to coming out to parents and just making sure that you provide a lot of information, etc. So you've touched on that a little bit. For people who may not be, maybe their employers, etc., just being able to educate and change those landscapes.
Yeah, for sure. And as you mentioned, you know, I wish that when I had come out, I had the resources to give to my dad. I didn't have that. And, you know, so it was a struggle even for my own dad. My dad is now in his mid-50s. And, you know, he was struggling with it up until recent years. And before I decided to go and participate in the Mr. Gay Canada competition, my final last checkpoint was when I went home for Christmas. I asked my dad, how he felt if I would run for Mr. Gay Canada. Knowing what my dad's comfort level is, he's very conservative, and he responded to me and said, absolutely, I think that this is a wonderful opportunity. And it actually almost broke my heart when my dad said to me that he was giving me his full support, because I've never had that in my life before in the past. And when my dad said to me that he has my support, that he believes in me, that's when I knew that I had the green light to go ahead. And then over the course of the last 3 and 4 weeks, I've done a significant amount of media interviews in my home community of the Okanagan Valley. And every time I finished an interview, I'd send a copy of it to my mom, to my dad, and to my sister. And one night I got an email back from my dad, and he said that he had gotten a call from one of his best friends, and he had gotten a call from one of his vendors. And they had made comments that I was a finalist for Mr. Gay Canada, and they had heard me on the radio. And I knew that to date, my dad still didn't know how to deal with it. He didn't know how to answer when his friends, when his colleagues mentioned gay issues, gay topics, how he would deal with it, let alone to explain to them that he had a gay son. And when I received his email, I called him and I apologized. I said, Dad, I'm really sorry. My intention was not to put anybody in my family on the spot. And I hope that I haven't offended you or upset you in any way. And his reaction, he laughed and he said, son, I am so proud of you. I'm so glad that you're in this competition and that I'm really proud to say that you're my son. And that was so validating for me. I think that has been the most rewarding moment in my entire Mr. Gay Canada opportunity. It was when I heard my dad validate that he's very proud of me for the work that I'm doing right now, and that I was able to help enlighten him and grow him as an individual. And if I can take that and spread that entire experience that I got to have across Canada and help other kids and other families through these types of challenges, that I know that it wasn't just myself facing or my dad facing, you know, that would be incredibly important to me to ensure that, you know, we are all raising the awareness, because I know my dad is so proud at home right now, and he can finally say, you know what, I have a gay son and I'm okay with it.
That's so cool. Yeah. Thank you so much. And as well as that, you are a blogger and you're a marketer as well. Where can somebody find you if not just, actually that's, hey, A, let's get them first and foremost. I was going to actually get them to plug your website personally first, but actually they might as well do that anyway because they can vote online, because that was the second thing that popped in my head, and I was like, no, we need to get them to vote first. So where can they vote, number one, and two, where can they find out more information if they want to hire you to do marketing, etc.?
Absolutely. So you can vote at gaywhistler.com is the official site where you can go. If you click under events, you can see the Mr. Gay Canada tab. Also, if you go to my website, which happens to be mywebsite.ca, and that's web with two B's, that's my last name.
I love that.
It is kind of clever. I'm a marketing guy after all. So you can go to mywebsite.ca if you can't find it on gaywhistler.com. I do have a banner tag there, and you can click directly in to vote for me cool. to be Mr. Gay Canada, and I would definitely appreciate everyone's support if they want to go online and learn more about me and about LGBT rights in Canada and some of the stories that I like to publish on a regular basis. I do regular features on my blog.
I think that's fantastic. And one last question, where are all the different candidates from? Because you mentioned Callum's from here, you're from here, well, living here now anyway, and where else in Canada?
Yeah, so it's actually not where we necessarily where we reside today.
Okay.
It's actually where we are born or where we are grew up. Oh. So I know that even Ryan Clayton is from the Shuswap area and Salmon Arm area. So we're not all from Vancouver. We happen to be living in Vancouver. So it's really exciting that to know that we're all from across Canada and we represent across Canada.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Caroline, for having me on the show. It's been really nice talking to you today.
Well, likewise. And it's finally good to meet you finally in person after all these years on
Twitter.
I know,
it's been forever on Twitter, right? So,
which is perfect.
That's awesome.
Thank Thank you. Well, and so for those of you who want to go and check out, there is Gay Ski Week, and there is lots of stuff going on, actually. So there's Mr. Gay Canada, the Gay Ski Week, and I'm missing one thing, and please tell me. Please help me out here.
Yeah, so there's over 65 events happening over the next 9 days. It's all online at gaywhistler.com, ranging from the pool party. There's ski activities throughout the day. There's dog sledding adventures. There's an opportunity to go down the luge track. So there's so many great opportunities to be out and proud in Whistler, or even just get involved with the community and check out, meet some of the candidates for Mr. Gay Canada, and go out and have a great time and meet some new people.
And have some skiing time too. Make sure you work out, whether it be in the pool or at the slopes, because those of you who are trying to stick to your New Year's resolutions, yeah, keep doing it even while you're there.
Yeah, and I'm personally excited to try out some new gadgets while I'm up on the mountain. So,
what kind of gadgets?
I'm looking at some goggles that have a built-in webcam on them, so that you can actually record. New gloves with electrodes on the fingertips, so that you can use your smartphone and not have to take off your hands.
Nice.
Your gloves. So just different little technology pieces like that that are out there. I'll be experimenting with out on the mountain.
Well, we'll have to keep tuning into your blog, so yes, then we can see that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Caroline. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Up next is Hans von Klaus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. If you guys could see me now, like literally, I've got two beautiful men on either side of me right now. This is quite lovely. It's a great way for a girl to spend her Wednesday night. It's quite lovely. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. We
Norman Otis
will be
Bridgman,
back
a
next week.
Journalist, is one of the main advocates in Canada.
We'll be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. And I will try not to drown myself out with ads. Have a wonderful night, everyone. Goodbye. Okay,